At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome you to Porch Talk. This is your host, Alan, and I just wanted to do a little housekeeping, and I wanted to thank you for your patronage to and for listening to the show and supporting it, whether it is rating it and reviewing it on your favorite podcast app. Maybe you follow us on YouTube to where you can watch some of the music videos that we've done in the past with past musical guests. You can see my songs there, and even some of these episodes that we do here, they're available for your watching. You can watch it on your television at home if you would so desire. Also, the Porch Talk website is going to be going live once again, and so with the Porch Fest 25 flyer coming out very soon, it'll have a QR code that will link you to the new and improved website, and that is practically going to be an EPK for all things Porch Fest, with the musicians, the comedians, the artists, the artisans, everyone who has their hands involved in making Porch Fest what it is. Thank you for coming and being a part of that festival that we do at Munson & Brothers in beautiful downtown Columbus, Mississippi. I hope that you will make plans to be with us in April. As far as the housekeeping, I think I've hit everything that I needed to. Thank y'all so much for your continued support. Let's give Fire Camino a call.
Hello.
Oh, there he is. How is the sun and the weather in beautiful Birmingham, Alabama, man?
It's actually really nice. It poured this morning. I don't know if y'all got any rain, but it was super rainy. But yeah, it's beautiful over here now.
And we did. It happened yesterday right at 5 when I got off work, and it was off and on again throughout the evening and night. So as the clouds move, I'm guessing what found you in the morning is what got us here in Starkville that night.
They say it's going to pour tomorrow, but I don't see how because there's no clouds.
Well, you are on the rain side of that hurricane coming.
Oh, yeah. Is that another one or is it the same one?
Brother, I have no idea. Since hurricane season kind of popped off, it just seems like it's been one after the other. I'm having a hard time keeping up, to be honest with you.
I don't watch the news anymore because it's just like it's always the same shit. Well, I guess it is the same shit because it's like this is a hurricane and then now here's another hurricane.
Well, I mean, every now and then you have a good run to where people are being accused of eating other people's pets. I mean, you never can tell about this day and age.
That's true. Well, that's the problem is like we don't know if this hurricane's real or if the hurricane last time was the hurricane that voted for other things.
It's true. We really don't know. Fire Camino, man. How was the homeless show over the weekend?
It went great. It was really, really awesome. If you all have never been to a show at LCY, I highly recommend it. Tim, the guy that owns it, is a sweetheart.
They put out a very sweet post either yesterday or today.
It was today. It was very, very nice. Also, One Roof, the people over there are unbelievably. Not only do they do so much good for the community, but just like, I don't know, every interaction I had with Courtney and all the people at One Roof was absolutely amazing.
Yeah, Well, man, give us the details. Spare no expense, man. Tell me about preparation and getting into the festival, man. You were freshly coming off of a show in Huntsville, but putting on an event like this in the hometown, man. Tell me about the experience.
Well, it's different when you book shows. Like, when you're just on a show, like, I mean, it's still a show, so you're committed to it. But, like, when you're the one that's actually booking it and putting it together, there's a lot more that goes into it.
Oh, you know? Just tell me about it.
Well, like, so with this, like, since it was a benefit show, so every bit of money we made went to the homeless shelter. Which, sadly, we didn't have that big of a turnout, so it wasn't a lot of money. But, like, we still did it. But because of that, like, none of the people on the bill got paid. And so, like, you know, when you're asking somebody to play a show and not make any money, it's a big ask, unless you're asking friends. So pretty much everyone on this bill was just my buddies. So it made it easy.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, that's you know, that's always tough, man, with whether planning Porch Fest or take tomorrow, or if you're listening to this, it's today, and it's at Monson and Brothers in Columbus, Mississippi. It's free, and it's also going to happen again on Friday. Both shows start at 6:30 Central Time. You can come. But I had a guy just outside of Nashville. His manager reached out to me. Shout out to you, Shep. Asking if Jay Edwards could come down to Columbus, Mississippi and play his songs. And he sent me an EPK. And, brother, I was just blown away.
And, what kind of music is it?
Well, you would really be into it, so and I'll send it to you when we get off the phone here. But he it's an original song, but it's a tribute to Hank Williams.
Oh yeah.
So think that vein.
All right.
So you know, outlaw country, but it very very modern twist to it. Sure. Very good lyrics, just great songs, man. He's a hell of a songwriter.
Hell yeah.
And he'll be coming on the show as well, so we'll be hearing from him. But, you know, they reached out about two dates, which was the 26th and the 27th. And I was like, well, unfortunately, we've already booked music on Friday. We do live music every Friday night at Monson's. But that Thursday is open. And so if he would like to come to Columbus and play, I'd love to have him. And so he was like, well, we want both dates. And I was like, well, let me make a couple of phone calls. And so for the Thursday night show, we really haven't had a whole lot of success as far as bringing people out. And so I wanted to kind of change that up. And I was like, well, maybe if we pair up a local hometown guy or gal that, you know, everybody knows and loves, maybe they'll come out to support them, and then they'll stay for the Jay Edwards show. And so the first thing I did, because I just know that I'm, without any controversy, I'm just the most loved guy I can think of. So I booked myself. The reason why I did that is because I knew how much money that I was going to ask for, which was going to be $0.
Also, too, you know that, like, and you've told me this many times that you're the best in Columbus.
yeah. I want to toot my own horn, but yeah, you're right. I'm loved by everybody, hated by none. Just the best. And I mean, when I go to Walmart, people not only flock around parking by my truck, but they also want to walk down the same aisles I walk. Can you believe that?
Well, I mean, that's the thing. If it wasn't for you, there would be no music scene in Columbus.
No, I'm telling you, dude. Holy crap. But, and then I thought about it, because we've got this 17-year-old guy, He's a guitar student to my buddy Mason, and he's been so faithful to coming to the open mics. And I had recently asked him, "I think you're ready to open for somebody. Would you be interested in doing that in the future? You know, if I had a show that was somewhat local, you know, come open." And then we have this opportunity pop up, and I was like, "You know what? I'm not gonna open the show. I'm gonna ask young Preston and see if he wants to." And I called his teacher Mason, and they happened to be together. And man, I wish I had a video camera on that end of the phone call, because it, you know, when you can just hear the elation on somebody's face and you're just talking to them on the phone.
Oh yeah.
Oh, I felt like he was gonna explode from joy. I could be wrong. It could be dread. But he was. But he was down the clown, and we're very happy about that. And I think that'll say a lot for the open mic that we've been building at Munson and Brothers, and maybe that'll bring out our open mic fellow musicians, and hopefully the people that come out just to hear and support the open mic. And I thought that would be a great way to kind of tie everything that I've been working on together.
Well, and that's what's beautiful is like when you do book shows, like you have a beautiful opportunity to bolster people up and to like, you know, like somebody who normally wouldn't open for like, yeah, someone from Nashville, like they get that chance to go out there and cut their teeth and go, all right, well, you know, all that time of you playing at the open mic, let's see if you can really do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And especially for someone who's that young, I've seen him before. I know he can do it. Like,
yeah.
That's why I'm happy about it, because I know he's got it in him.
Yeah, you do. You do know young Preston, don't you?
Yeah, because I saw him play when I came and played the open mic at Munson.
Yeah. And he's come such a long way, and he's been so teachable. I remember the first time he came, and I talked to Mason a little bit before I made any remarks to Preston, because I didn't want to run him off. And right. So I pulled Mason aside, and I was like, man, if I gave Preston some feedback, do you think it would offend him? And he was like, I think that's why he's here, so go for it. And, I mean, my only critique that night, I thought his singing and his playing was fine. It was just, you could tell that he had only really played, you know, in his bedroom. Because he hadn't really practiced in front of a mirror and, like, thought about what he looks like while he's on stage.
Right.
And so, like, the only feedback I had the first time he came was, you know, go home, practice in front of the mirror, and think about your stage presence. Because, I mean, the persona, you already dress the part, and you play and sing the part. I just need you to not be a robot.
Right.
And, I mean, he came back the next open mic, and it was like it was a brand new guy. And, I mean, you've kind of seen, and each time he just continues to get better. And so I'm happy to give him opportunity to, because he plays a lot of country music. And now he's going to open for somebody out of that Nashville scene. So congratulations to young Preston.
Here's to you, buddy.
Yeah.
But no, that's the key, too, is, like, how you handle criticism. Because, like, that's the thing with open mics and stuff like that. Is like, I think criticism can be a really good builder. Because some people are like, oh, well, you shouldn't criticize people. And, like, there's a way to do it, not be a dick. But, like, you know, Preston could have, like, you could have said that. And he could have, like, freaked out about it and not, you know, became more shy or whatever. But instead he's like, no, he's got a good point. I'm going to fix it and I'm going to, you know, keep going. Or, you know, you could buck against the criticism, but you just got to keep going. Regardless, like, if you really have it in you, you should be able to take criticism and either go like, oh, that's a good point, or say, fuck it. You just got to keep rolling with it. Like, if you really believe in something and have it, you got to keep going in the averse. There's a point I'm trying to make here, but I'm fumbling my words.
I'm proud of you, Josh. I'm thankful, and God bless for Loco, buddy.
I'm back on the sauce, people.
We knew it wouldn't last long, did we?
2 weeks down the drain.
I thought you did great, and I'm still proud of you, man.
Oh, thank you. Saturday when I played that show, I was like, yeah, I'm not doing this sober. Because people were paying money to see this. Yeah. I can't, you know. Because if anyone's ever seen me sober, like play a show sober, I am a stuttering, awful mess. Like, it's not a good show. So it's weird because I almost have to drink to be more professional.
I get that, man. You know, if I'm out at a bar that serves liquor, I like to have a shot or two of whiskey before I go up.
Yeah.
And, you know, and at Munson Brothers, I like to at least have a beer in me. Now, you know, since I'm being a lot more responsible now, and I am, I wouldn't say I'm working towards sobriety. I'm just working toward being a lot more responsible. But I've done straight sober shows to where I'm drinking water. And that's, speaking of stage presence and everything, that's one thing that I've really had to key in on is I got some game footage from being completely sober versus like a few beers in. That few beer in guy is a lot. He looks a lot happier to be there.
Yeah, because well, I mean that's the thing. It's funny because I've done this for about 8 years now, and I am still. Every time I go up on stage, I am scared shitless. You know.
I mean, but and, Josh, is that something that you would want to go away? Like to me, like I still get the jitters. And like I feel like if that ever leaves, it's almost like something is wrong with me.
Yeah, cuz well, that's the thing. You become like, I feel like, even though I have, like, anxiety, all this anxiety to, like, playing and whatever, like, I think, like, that fuels it in a way. Because, like, well, I have to be good, you know. But I think, yeah, like you said, like, if that went away and I just became, like, complacent, like, I think the show would suffer.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, just to tie it back into criticism, is I mean just within just to plug the open mic once again, are just the supporting crowd, the people who show up for live music, and they're really excited to talk to the musicians after they get finished playing, and they always give great compliments, and you know, they want to pat them on the back and tell them what a great job. And then you have, you know, a couple of the seasoned guys. And, I mean, not even myself. There's more seasoned guys in that crowd than I am when it comes to playing. But they will be honest with you, you know, if you've given them the green light, so to speak.
Right.
And it's, like you said, it's only to help you. You don't have to take it. You can say, like you said, you can, man, screw you. You know, This is my thing, and I'm gonna figure it out. And that's also the thing, right? I mean, it's a tale old as time. Is there could be 99 great things said about you, but you're gonna key in on that one bad thing.
That's true. Well, if you allow it, and that's the thing, is if like it depends on how much respect and weight you give to the person who's saying it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas, like,
go ahead.
Like some fuck at a bar, like, because there's, I can't tell you, it's so funny that it happens now. Because, like, I'll, every once in a while, I like to pop my head in at the fucking open mic at the Nick. And then there'll be some old guy that'll come up, and he'll, like, tell me something. He's like, you should do it this way or that way. And I'm like, you know who the fuck I am? Like, I'm not being that guy, but at the same time, I'm like, I got it, buddy. You know, like, I don't give a damn what you have to say about, like, my set or, like, how I should do it or, you know, because I don't respect them. But, like,
well, I mean, that makes sense because they're probably not a musician.
Yeah, no, because it's not. It's never a person that plays music. It's just some dude that walks up and he's like, hey, that was really good, but you should sing more like Don Henley. It's like, yeah, go fuck yourself. I'll let Don Henley be Don Henley. I'm going to be Fire Camino, you know?
Amen to that.
But fucking, no, it is funny at, like, the Nick, because people will be like, you know, like, oh, well, that's, you know, good starting out. And I'm like, I never have done it, but I want to do it. Like when people do that, because I'm like, hey, turn around, and they'll be like, my guitar hanging on the wall, or there's also back by the pool tables, there's a fucking flag of Ireland that has Fire Camino written across it, and I'm like, oh yeah, no, this is my first time, like, what the fuck.
Yeah,
but no, it depends on how much weight you give to the person that's giving you the criticism. Like, Alan, I think you're a fantastic songwriter. If someone like you or Taylor or Will Stewart or fucking Ham Bagby, like, if somebody like that was like, hey, man, like, maybe do it this way or whatever, I'm going to fucking pay attention and hold on to every bit of those words, because it's like, they know what the fuck they're talking about. They're not talking out of their ass. They're talking from a... Also, not in a way of, like, oh, well, here's what you should do. It's always, between musicians, it's a suggestion.
Yeah.
You know, because I've given people, not necessarily criticisms, but I'm like, hey, just try this one.
You know, like, one thing lately, and it really doesn't happen that much, maybe just a couple times over the past few months, if, say, someone like you, and you just finished this new song. Most of the things that I've kind of been throwing back, and like you said, just suggestion, is like there might be a phrasing or like not even the word itself, maybe the melody, and I might make a notation toward that. It's like I think there's a little bit more there, and that is it's not a positive or a negative, you know, it's not like. You got something else there, I think. You may not. You may try it, and you may hate it. But it's worth a shot.
Well, that's what kills me, is, like, people that are, like, opposed to, like kind of jamming and experimentation, of where it's like, move the capo up one. Just try it. Fuck it. Move the capo up one. You know what I mean? Like, little shit. Of where it's like, that could make the song way better, but it's just an experiment. Or it could ruin it, but, like, just try it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we've had this craze. I think I told you a little bit about it. I don't know on the air, but we've had a few guys at the open mics that have all of a sudden become obsessed with playing at 432 hertz.
Yeah. No, you've told me about it off the air, but, like, all right, what's the benefit? I want to know.
Well, I think it goes more into the history of it, if you're familiar.
Hey, real quick. So, off the air, fucking, we were talking about 432 hertz, and Alan was telling me, he's like, yeah, you just take your tuner and it's got a thing where you can adjust the pitch. And he said he had a snark tuner. I said, yeah, I got a snark tuner. I don't have that. Guess what, Alan?
It does.
No, I don't have a snark tuner.
Oh, you don't even
have... It's a fucking Chinese knockoff of a snark. It's not a real snark.
You got a Clark.
Yeah, because I was like, oh, yeah, I got a, you know... It's still round, like a snark would be, but it's, it, like, it doesn't have snark. I forget what brand it is, but it's a completely different brand. I was like, oh, well, that's why.
I mean, I wish, just over the past couple of years, man, I wish I knew how many snarks and capos I've purchased. Just because, you know, it's almost like a pen... or a lighter. When it comes to guitar players, they love running off of your tuner or your capo.
Yep.
I wanna...
Man, you know what's a problem I have?
What's that?
of don't forget to take the tuner off before you smash the guitar.
That's a great point.
And I can't tell you how many times I've done it, and then you break the tuner in the process, and you're like, fuck! Like, because the guitar you didn't give a fuck about, but you're like, I didn't plan to spend $20 on a new tuner.
Right. Right. Yeah, just to dial it back to that 432, and it was crazy to me because we were talking about it before and during the past open mic, and it seemed like the people in the crowd who were there just to support the live music, they were more into the idea of 432 than the players. The players were, you know, probably kind of like what you're thinking. It's like, yeah, that's kind of a trope.
That's some hippie bullshit.
Yeah, and that's exactly like what that was immediately like what a lot of people brought up. It's like, have you ever seen those videos of 432 hertz when the vibrations are played over a body of water, and how beautiful the waves in the water are, and then when you play it at 440, it's real chaotic. And I think 432 is it's more natural for a human to be able to sing there. And I was like, yeah. You ever looked into why we started playing at 440? I was like, I think you just answered your own question, because I believe it for 432 up to 440, it was kind of thin the herd out a little bit, so to speak.
So, do you want to know something funny?
Go for it.
Do you know that pretty much every AC/DC record with Bon Scott is not in 440?
Right.
I think it's down like 5 points.
Yeah.
Or five, whatever the fuck they call it. But like, I don't know, maybe there is something to like doing it at a different pitch.
I mean, there's definitely, and man, I played with it. Like, I got the Martin that you gave me, that you gifted to me, and that's my, you know, my house guitar.
Yeah.
I mean, it's sitting right next to me now. It sits right next to my desk.
Hey, this is a perfect opportunity. Can I tell the story behind that guitar?
Oh, I'd love for you to.
Okay. So, I want to get to 432 hertz. I want to hear about it, but this is a good story. So, I used to work at Publix. I worked in the produce section. And there was a guy that worked with me. His name was Greg Strickland. Old guy. He was cool as shit. And me and Greg were always cool, and we got talking. And I said something about playing guitar. He goes, you play guitar? And I go, yeah. He goes, what kind of music you play? And I go, folk music. And he goes, oh, like Jim Croce? I'm like, yeah. And so me and him would just talk about Jim Croce all the time. And he goes, well, I got this Martin, but I never play it. And I was like, well, I'll play it. You know, like, I'll buy it from you. And he goes, I don't know. And I'm like, I don't want to sell it. I'm like, come on, like, I'll put it to good use. You said it's just been sitting in a closet. You know, I'm like, come on, I'll put it to good use. Anyway, me and him worked together for a long time, and it's like every day, every single day for like 6 months.
Oh, you wore them out.
Oh, I did, yeah, because like we get talking about music, and I'm like, yeah, that's cool. Hey, you still got that Martin? And he goes, yeah, I still got that Martin. And I'm going, you gonna sell it? And he goes, nah, I ain't gonna sell it. And I said, do you play it? And he goes, nah, it's set in that closet. And I'm like, well, you know, I'd play it. I'd put it to good use. And I played some show, I forgot who recorded it. No, I didn't. I'll tell you what made him sell me the Martin. I put out that record that I did with Hollingsworth, and I brought him a CD. And it's funny because the next day he came in and he goes, you didn't tell me you were fucking Arlo Guthrie? And I go, I don't hear Arlo Guthrie, but fucking if you do. And I didn't even bring it up. And he goes, I'm going to sell you that, Mark. And I would go, okay, shit, about time. So I got that Martin. I played that Martin for about a year or two. And me and you met. And I don't know. We got on something. There's something was fucked up with your guitar. Or I can't remember how we got to it.
Oh, yeah. But I had
it was the first time I was ever on Porch Talk.
Yeah. I'm having, like, with my Breed Love, which is the guitar I play out.
Yeah.
I've since fixed the problem. Now I'm having the problem again. But I always have electronic issues with that Breed Love. And so, yeah. And ironically enough, now this Martin is just an acoustic because it's got electronic issues.
Yeah, that's the problem I have with it, which is why you got it.
I'm not gonna lie.
Playing out with it sucked. But it's a great guitar. It's just you can't play live with it.
Yeah, I'm eventually gonna get. I mean, all it needs to do is like just redo the electronics, and you're good.
Yeah, and that's it. Well, you know what's funny is like I'll redo wiring like those cheap, shitty pawn shop guitars, but like a Martin, it's like, all right, well, I don't need to do that.
Oh, I feel that, man. I took it over to a buddy of mine. He tinkers and works on guitars all the time. And, you know, he sent me the parts on Amazon, and he already had the strings off of it, and I was like, okay. And I thought I had given him the green light. I was like, go ahead and order that part, and, you know, when you get done with it, I'll square up, I'll buy that part, and I'll pay you for your labor, and I'll just pay you everything all at once. And a week goes by, and 2 weeks goes by, and I hit him up, and I'm, hey, brother, you made any headway with the Martin? And he was, well, I haven't even ordered the part. And I was like, you know, like, it's been 2 weeks, and, like, I like having it around, so I'm just going to come get it.
Yeah.
And so it's just been my little house guitar.
Oh, yeah.
But it gets played every day.
See, and that's the thing. I knew when I gave you that guitar. It's funny because like, I give away guitars on stage, and I'm like, normally, if I give a guitar on stage, I don't give a fuck about it. But if I personally give you a guitar, which I've done to quite a few people in my life, but like if I give you a guitar, I know you're going to put it to good use.
It definitely.
I'll not give you a guitar if I know it's sitting in the fucking closet.
Oh no, it's I mean, it plays good and the action's great on it. It sounds a lot better to me than my Breed Love, and listen to that. Beautiful, but just talking about her makes me want to play her.
There's nothing like a Martin. There's nothing like a Martin.
Yeah, I've had two Taylors, and I wasn't a big fan of either one of them. I do like the Breed Love that I have now. It's been a good guitar. It's been all over the world with me, and I've always wanted a Martin, and this Martin that you gifted me, it's a good model, and it's a great little guitar.
Well, I'm glad you like it, man. I'm glad you're still playing it.
Yeah, man.
So tell me about tuning it to 432 hertz.
So anyway, dude, like, my buddy, he was literally, like, every evening after work, he was going on and on and on about it. So I eventually, like, just tuned my guitar down to it, and he sent a recording of him playing Stockholm by Jason Isbell.
Yeah.
And I listened to it. And, like, before I even got done listening to it, he was like, listen to some of the melodies and, like, just the differences in the way that I'm singing some of the parts of the song opposed to the way it's originally done. And I was like, oh, yeah, I've already noticed that. That's very interesting to me. And he was, well, tune down and, you know, pick a song that you know by heart and just give yourself a little artistic freedom. And he was like, I bet you're going to find that the way that you hear it and some of the melodies and some of the chances that you want to take are going to be a little bit different. And it's practically, just think, you're tuning down practically a half step. And so your voice is going to be more comfortable there. And so if naturally you are going to want to take more chances. And I wrote him back and I was like, 432, half step down, it's six eggs in one hand, it's half a dozen in the other, man. It's like, I don't see like why we're going on and on and on about this.
Right.
And if anything, it's like, I don't think, I think we've already escalated this, enough. Like, I don't think we need to continue talking about this. Like, I agree. Like, it would be the equivalent of me, tuning my guitar to some kind of an open tuning. Like, anytime you're having roadblocks, right? You've been playing in standard, and, everything gets a little dull. And so maybe you throw a capo on, or you take the capo up a little bit higher than what you normally would. And, it's almost like having a brand new instrument. You get to hear some of the strings in a different way. And then, what I tell people all the time, if you're feeling like you're in a rut and, you really can't come up with a new song, or you feel like you're on a plateau when it comes to your abilities, consider changing the tuning on your guitar, because it's going to put you on your toes all over again. And you're going
to
treat
learn different chord shapes.
Yeah.
Like, and everything is different. Like an open G is like completely fucking nuts,
Absolutely. And it's going to change the way that you're thinking about your instrument, because it practically is. It's a brand new instrument at this point, because you've changed the way that these strings are working with one another. And your notes are falling in different places, and like open G, for instance. I mean, that's a lot of fun, and it doesn't take in open G. If I'm not mistaken, that's probably the best tuning to be in if you want to play slide.
Oh yeah, it definitely. And you know what's crazy about open G is, like, open G you can play with one finger, and people are like, ah, it's bullshit. And then you do it, and people are like, wait, what? It's like, all you need is one finger, and you can play an open G.
Yeah, so, I mean, everybody out there, maybe you're a music lover, and you had an accident at the shop, and you lost a couple appendages. You've lost some fingers, and you're like, I just got this one. What me and Josh are telling you is open G.
Yeah, open G, you're good to go. Also, too, for guitarists, so you know how normally when you do open G, normally you do two things. You either tune the big E string, you tune that to D.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging, so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.
And then it creates like this weird whatever. Or you fucking do the Keith Richards and you cut the top fucking E string off, and then you just have a five string guitar, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, get this. Fucking take that string, the top E, tune it up to G, then you have like this fucking weird 12 string octave thing on the fucking top.
Huh.
You see what I'm saying?
I do.
You'll have to cut the string, so you're not ruining the string, so if you want to go back to standard. But you're still in open G, but now you have two G's on your top to fucking do the low end shit.
Very cool. There you have it.
You know who does that a lot?
Who's that?
Fucking Eagles of Death Metal.
I could see that. Little Josh Homme action.
Yeah, hell yeah.
I saw them live, and
Eagles of Death Metal or Queens?
Queens of Stone Age. I wish it was. I wish it was the Eagles of Death Metal. Either way, I highly recommend either way.
Dude, yeah, no, fucking both of those bands are amazing.
Yeah.
Queens especially. I'm jealous because I have never got to see Queens, and I really want to see Queens.
It was funny, man. We were, this is at Memphis in May, and we were at the middle stage. We were just killing time. We were about to go to the, we're just going to say north-south, even if it's not positioned that way. It is, because it's right along the Mississippi. We were going to go to the north stage, because there was, and this is how long ago it's been, and look how far they've come. There was this group from Iceland called Kaleo.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they were there, and Sid, you've met Sid, haven't you?
Sid, have I? I don't know. I can't remember.
Probably not.
You know I'm bad with names.
Yeah, yeah. At the last Porch Fest, he sent he set. Next to me, and I think he was on one side of me, Taylor was on the other, and I think you were on the other side of Taylor.
Oh, yeah. I know exactly who you're talking about now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Kind of swole, works out. Anyway.
Yeah,
it's not that imperative to the story, but we always go to music festivals and things together. And that was a band that we were really happy about seeing that day. And guess who we were watching at the middle stage? We were listening to, who remembers a song called Semi Charm Life?
Oh, shit!
Third Eye Blind.
Damn.
And, dude, it was incredible. And so I was standing next to this very attractive young lady. And there were people, like, kept brushing up against me and her, like trying to go between us. And I just look over there at her, and I'm about to hold your hand. And she just kind of looks at me, and I'm tired of people brushing me on your side. So if I'm holding your hand, they're not going to go through there anymore. And she's like,
fucking smooth operator, Alan.
And yeah, we sit there and watch Semi Charm Life. And after that was over, where are you headed next? And we're heading up to the north stage, and we're going to go catch this Iceland group called Kaleo. And she went with us. And, the two closers that night, you had Queens of the Stone Age on the north side, and then you had Alanis Morissette on the south side.
Ooh, that's a tough choice.
Not at all for me. I have a dick.
Oh, fuck it. All right, hold on. Wait a minute. No, I agree with you. Queens of the Stone Age is great, but fucking Little Jagged Pill, Alanis Morissette is pretty fucking great.
I'm not dissing Alanis Morissette at all. I'm just saying.
Maybe I'm more of a lesbian than you are.
Maybe. So anyway, homegirl tells me of her and her friends. They're all gonna go see Atlantis, and I'll see you later. Because I'm going to see Queens of the Stone Age. And, she shoots me a text about halfway through the Queen show. And she's like, I'm headed your way. Where are you at? And I was like, uh-huh. Queens is better than Alanis, at least in this situation. And I was standing behind a guy who was wearing a Space Bam. No. You remember that Will Ferrell film... where it was the basketball, the Tropics. Was it semi-pro?
Semi-pro, yeah, that's it.
He had that jersey on, and I immediately knew that I was going to like the guy, and so like we were standing behind him for most of the night, and he had a lot of he had things with him that make festivals funner, and he was very generous to us.
Well, that's good. That's always good.
And what a time we all had because of it. But yeah, that's a story of Queens of the Stone Age, Alanis Morissette, Kaleo, and Memphis in May all wrapped into one.
Around what year was this? I'm just curious what album Queens was on.
I could tell you almost exactly. This would have been 2018.
Oh, okay. All right, later. So, like, either Clockwork or Villains.
Well, dude, for that show, they played nothing but the hits.
Hell yeah.
Now, they were, like, just No One Knows. You just hit after hit after hit.
Can I ask a hard question? Like, a real hard question?
Sure.
What's your favorite? What's the best Queens record?
The red one with the pitchfork. Songs for the Deaf.
That's the one for real.
I think that's typically the one that most people start on or get recommended, and I think that's the one where most people go back to.
See, I think like just this is like a generational difference. I remember. The first Queens record I ever heard was Aris Vulgaris.
Okay.
But I think it was just a generational thing, because I remember it like being on TV. Like, I remember when MTV played music.
Oh, I did too.
I remember seeing the fucking music video for, I think it was Threes and Sevens.
You know, we used to, and I'm just a touch older than you, that was the highlight of me and my brother's day. My mother would already be off to work, and she had made sure that we were up and that, you know, we were taking our showers or eating breakfast while we were waiting on the bus.
Yeah.
And I remember we would always, there was that great show on MTV where it was nothing but music videos. Believe it or not, there was a time where music television was music television. And
I remember when CMT was fucking like they would just show music videos.
And now it's Reba, but never. So you could wake up in the morning before school, and dude, we were getting full serves of like, this was near the end of it, but you remember the Taking Back Sunday, they had the song Make Damn Sure, to where in the music video, the lead singer would throw the mic and cord like around and around his neck and then catch it.
Yeah.
And we were just going absolutely AWOL about that, and we were obsessed with it. You had Sum 41, of course, you had Jet. What a time to be alive.
I remember the first time I saw MTV. It was funny, because the first time I saw MTV, it wasn't live. So my cousin, Amber, she would take VHS tapes, and whenever like a song she liked came on, like a music video, mm-hmm. she'd pop it in and fucking record MTV. So she'd make her own mixtapes, but instead of like on a cassette, it was on a VHS.
Very cool.
And I remember sitting in my grandmother's living room, and she pops in this fucking cassette, and the fucking first video is Feel Good Ain't by Gorillaz.
Oh, dude, and you know, every Gorillaz music video is kind of the same, but you love them.
Like it's, oh, yeah. No.
Yeah, Feel Good Incorporated. Whatever.
Feel Good burned into my mind, because that was the first MTV video I ever saw.
One of the first bass lines I ever learned.
Really?
Do-do-do-do-do-do.
Do-do-do-do-do-do.
Feel good. Oh, good
Gorillaz
stuff.
Gorillaz were great. Like, those first, like,
Yeah, you had that you had Feel Good Incorporated, and on that same record you had Clint Eastwood. You had several great songs on that record.
Yeah, Demon Days. Demon Days was the shit. And then the self-titled before that was really good. What was the record at? Was it Melancholy Hill? That was the next one.
That sounds correct.
It had Stylo. Stylo had the fucking music video of Bruce Willis. Remember that?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then, do you remember the band Blur?
Sadly. I don't know. I shit on Blur because I like Oasis.
I was about to say, the Blur is just gorillas with the mask off.
Yeah, I know.
I was like, if you like one, you typically like the other.
Well, no, I mean, Blur's funny because, there's certain Blur songs that I really like
Song Number Two.
Song Number Two. Well, that whole record, fucking, I can't remember. It's the one with the album covers them pushing a gurney.
Yeah.
That record's really good. Beetle Bums on it. There's some other really good songs on that record, but. Like, Boys and Girls, like, that dancey fucking song they did is really good.
Mm-hmm.
But like, Park Life, shit. Like, Park Life, and a lot of people who really like Blur like Park Life, and, like, that record shit to me.
Man, it's always different strokes of, like, you take my favorite band, Band of Horses.
Yeah.
I have every record they've ever put out, I have it on vinyl. I also probably have it on a CD somewhere. I have. I've seen them more than, I've seen most bands. And if you asked me to pick out my favorite album, I would just tell you listen to everyone in reverse order, chronological order, start in the middle and work your way out. Every song is better than the last one you heard, and it's all great. And then. I can show Band of Horses to someone, and they're meh, and that's fine. We're just not going to be friends anymore.
Yeah, I mean, it is funny that there's certain bands like that of where it's like, if you don't like this, like, what the fuck's wrong with you? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I understand not liking certain things. Like, because there's a certain, like, I'll tell you a big one that will probably piss off people. I don't like the Doors. I don't. I'm sorry.
I used to hate the Doors until I sat down with Brother Cobb and we watched the Doors documentary. Well, because of the documentary and just because of how big of a fan Cobb is, it clicked for me and I got it to where I like. I like the Riders of the Storm or, the other iterations because there were, you had two sides of Morrison. You had the Mojo Rising, which I think he's probably talking about his penis, but definitely was. And then you had like the Rider of the Storm, and so you had like that kind of roadhouse version of the Doors, and then you had like a more polished version of it.
Now listen. I don't like the Doors, but who the fuck can listen to L.A. Woman and not like it?
See?
So, I mean,
something's wrong with you in your head. Josh, I met someone who used to be Amish who went on Rumspringer and never went back.
Oh, really? Okay, I want to hear this story. This is great.
Well... I'm saving a lot of it because I hope they come on the podcast.
Oh, that would be great.
And I have no idea how the Doors or Jim Morrison and how that cues off something in my brain to bring up.
If Jim Morrison was Amish, he would have went on Rumspringer and never came back.
Maybe that's the connection. I'm excited about this. And so she left... And her parents would leave too, but her she still has an uncle that is Amish. And so she's like, when we go to visit with him, we, you know, it's bad juju. Like, everyone else in the community is like, you better be careful around them. We're watching. But anyway, I think that'll be a very fun story. Just because that is, there are certain groups of people. Like, I thought Abe Partridge and Farrell Gibbs did such a great job on the Alabama astronaut, painting the snake handlers in such a great light, to where you could begin to understand their faith and why they believe what they believe, but you could also appreciate their music and who they are as people, rather than just, I don't know, make fun of them.
Right.
And so, like, I find those people to be remarkable, and I also find the Amish community to be remarkable. And I don't think that they should be at the butt end of everybody's joke, because it would be kind of cool to, I don't know, build everything from scratch, ride horses, and not have to deal with paying taxes. It sounds pretty sweet to me.
I mean, truthfully, that's where I'm at with them. You know, like, I mean, it's one of those things of where, like, I don't like to shit on anyone's religion. Like, I really don't. Like, even Mormons, which is funny because, like, if you've gone to a Fire Camino show, you can get a signed Book of Mormon, but fucking, you should be able to believe what you believe. And, like, we all have different beliefs, and, like, especially, like, when it comes to religion, like, if you looked at it from a, like, wide point of view, like, if you zoomed out,
yeah,
I would say all of us kind of believe in some goofy bullshit.
Yeah. But, yeah, you know, like, I totally believe, like, strapping a bomb to your chest and running into a building is goofy.
Well, no, that's different.
Oh, is it?
No, hear me out. Because, like, any religion that is, like, you know who has it figured out? The fucking Hindus. Because the Hindus believe some crazy shit, but guess what? Like, they're not violent about it.
You mean the Hindus or Buddhists?
No, Hindus.
Huh. Yeah, it's because they believe in everything.
Well, yeah, but also, I mean, but, like, all right, listen, like, you can argue that, like, Christianity and Judaism and Islam has all led to violence. You know what I mean? But can you argue that with Hinduism?
I think maybe Gandhi would be the only example I would have for that.
Of violence?
Yeah, I don't. History was really kind to that man, but, like,
yeah, it was because he was a pedophile.
Yes.
Yeah. People like to overlook that, but Gandhi was a pedophile. Also, Gandhi hated black people. So Gandhi, the thing that people forget about Gandhi is he went and he fucking
said the N-word
a
lot.
Went to college and shit in England. Yeah. But there's a lot of letters where he liberally uses the M-word.
Oh, I'm well aware of it. It's very well documented.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's like, you know. But, yeah, that dude's a pedophile and a racist. But no, it's one of those things of, like, I believe that you should be able to believe whatever you believe. The problem then lies of where, like, when you take to religious violence and you take to, like, extremes like that, like, and Christians have done it. I mean, look at the fucking Crusades. Islam does it all the time. Fucking Judaism clearly fucking does it. Look at the shit that's going on in the Middle East now. Like, it's fucking, it's egregious, because it's funny because so many of those teachings, like, you look at the Quran or the Torah or the Bible, and it's like, oh, we're a religion of peace. And it's like, how do we do this? Oh, through violence. It's like, well, what the fuck is that? You just win against your own word, you know?
Yeah, and that's one of those, I've thought about that a long time, and I would need to think about it more, because I don't even, the Torah with the first five books, you know, Genesis to Deuteronomy, when you're getting to know that God of you know, and as you move it on through the Old Testament, and Israel was going to war, and God was helping them with their endeavors, according to the stories being told. And then you move on to the New Testament and the teachings of Jesus, and then from Acts to Revelation, you have church letters and his disciples telling stories. And I mean, I think with the book of Eli, and I guess this will be my point till I have more time to think about it. You ever seen the book of Eli with Denzel Washington?
I haven't, but I heard it's great.
Well, the protagonist in the film, the protagonist is Denzel. He's Eli.
Yeah.
But the antagonist, the bad guy in the film, he wants nothing more. His mind is bent on it. He has been looking for a book for a very long time, and he cannot seem to find it. Guess what book he wants to get his hands on?
The Book of Eli?
Which is, turns out, the Bible.
Ah.
I'm not going to tell you why it's called the Book of Eli. Like, you watch the film, and it's one of the movies, like, it's easily spoiled for somebody, but once you watch it once, you really don't ever have a need to watch it again because you know how it ends, and so the whole movie's kind of ruined.
Yeah.
So
but you get the bit, like you get the gimmick or whatever.
Yeah, and it's a great movie. It's kind of like what was that Leonardo DiCaprio movie toward Inception?
Yeah,
like after you watch that movie once, you really don't need to go back and watch it again ever.
Also, like, all right, hold on, not to derail the religious conversation.
Well, I was actually done with it. Like I would need time because, and here's my point, and then we can move on to whatever your the Word of God, the Bible, or even like if you want to go to Islam with the Quran, those words carry a lot of power over those who believe in those words, and when you have somebody in a position of power, if they are charismatic enough and can twist the meaning of some verses or chapters or books, well, they can create a bloody, bloody Sunday. And so, like, we should always, with Martin Luther, with his 95 Theses, is we should always hold those in power to account. And that, in fact, is we don't do it enough.
Well, I mean, like, it's one of those things of where, like, so many people have committed crimes in the name of God, and it's like, that you go against their own teachings for, listen, regardless of what you believe, we're all human. We're all human. And we may differ in opinion. And we may have, you know, the God I have may be different from the God you have. But why can I not look at you as if you're my brother? You know, this is bigger than any, you know, like just, why can I not look at you as my brother and go, I don't want to create any ill will towards you or your family. And we can talk it out. Like, yeah, we may have a disagreement. We may go, oh, well, predestination's real. Or, oh, predestination isn't real. Or, like, Jesus was the Son of God. Jesus wasn't the Son of God. Or, like, maybe it was Muhammad. Or maybe it wasn't Muhammad. Maybe we're still waiting on the fucking, we're still waiting on the Messiah. Or, like, why do we have to resort to violence? Why is just because I believe something different than you? It's the same like in America, like truth, like we try to go like, oh, it's all about religion. What if you believe in fucking nothing? You still have fucking political ideology, and you still go, oh, well, maybe communism's right. Oh, Kamala's the right one. Oh, Trump's the right one. Oh, da, 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 da. And everyone has all this bullshit, and it all has to be A or B or left or right. Oh, I like the Braves. Oh, I like the Yankees. Oh, da, da. Fuck that. Each and every one of us is human. Yes or no? Yes. We're human. Gender, sexuality, fucking all that bullshit doesn't matter. Each and every one of us is human, and each and every one of us is here. When we smell the same air, we see the same water, we see the same grass. Why can't we fucking unite around that and go, hey, listen, whatever you believe is what you believe, and why can't we fucking love each other while we're here? Why does everything got to be a fucking conflict with us?
Because we're human.
Well, I know, but why? Why can't we deny that and go, hey, we got to be a thing?
You called it out. It's as simple as take the state of Alabama. It would be the equivalent of me liking the University of Auburn and you liking the University of Alabama. It's bred in us.
Why can't we deny that?
There's no getting over your own nature or carnality in that. And this is me coming from a Christian perspective, is the best that I have to offer is dirty rags when it comes to the God that I know, I serve, and believe in. And so that's why I hold Jesus Christ to such high esteem for doing the work that I could not do on the cross, being, you know, my sacrifice for the forgiveness of my sins so that I could be in good standing with God the Father. And I know that sounds ludicrous to people who don't partake in that. And so, like, it took me a long time. You know, Josh, there was a time 10 years ago when if you and I would have met, you would have hated me. I was a holier than thou. I was, I had my faith stuck so far up, you know, my rear that it was like having a corn cob stuck up there. And man, I was just so high on my own supply, and then for a time after everything had,
hold on,
why?
I wouldn't have hated you. My love for you doesn't come from what you believe. My love from you comes from what you are.
Well, dude, I'm telling you, like our first conversations would have made you not like me. Like, I am a long shot from what I was 10 years ago. And I thank God for that. I needed it. I had a lot of life-changing things happen. And all those things needed to happen because I needed to be humbled. I needed to be broken. I needed to be shown things because I used to look down on people who have now, some of the things that they committed that I look down on, I've now committed myself, and I understand why.
Yeah.
And I had to go through that. Else I would have always been holier than thou, and how spiritual I am, and all these people, they're heathens and they're going to hell, and I can't wait for that.
Well, we are born sinners. We are. Like, it is human nature to sin. And we will continue to sin.
Oh, yeah. Till you die, buddy.
But you can't hate the sinner. And I'm not doing that bullshit fucking, you know how people like excuse certain activities just because it's like, oh, you can't hate the sinner, but hate the, like, it's a tricky subject and it's hard. Like, it's,
that's what I'm saying. I would like a little time to kind of think about this, and like when it comes to talking about religion or religions plural, I would want to have a lot of information in front of me. I wouldn't want to fly by the seam of my pants on that.
Well, and that's the thing that, like, I was trying to get at earlier, but so many people, like, I cannot fully relate to experience. I can't. Like, I can only relate to my own experience. Like, I can't even relate to you. In some ways, I can. We both grew up in Alabama. We both have certain ideologies, and we both have certain beliefs and whatever. And, like, but I will never know what it means to be Alan Aldridge. And on the same token, you will never know what it means to be Josh Williams. Like, you can't ever walk a mile in my shoes. And that's why it upsets me that some people want to approach people with hatred or bias. And it's like, you don't fucking know. You have no idea what they went through. It's like when certain people, like, you go into, like, a restaurant or a fucking gas station or whatever, and you go, oh, this person barely speaks English. What the fuck? They, you know, they've been over here. They should know how to da-da-da-da-da. And it's like, you don't know. They may have walked all the way here from fucking Guatemala, and you want to give them shit, and they're working at a fucking Chevron. I was like, don't give, you know. The point I'm trying to get at with the religion and fucking, like, just give people patience and love. That's it. That's all I ask of anybody. Of, like, just be understanding of where a person comes from. And even a person that's like, ah, oh, fuck God, there's no God. It's like, well, what led them to that? What led them to believe, like, oh, well, that this is bullshit, or this is, you know, like, because there has to be something in their life or deep-rooted, like, they've had bad experiences with religion, or with, like, even people that are racist, or where it's like, people are like, oh, I hate black people. It's like, all right, well, why do you hate black people? Is it because you had a bad experience with one dude? Because, like, that's not how all those people are, but you're trying to label something as like, oh, well, if this person did it, like, if Mark did this, then everyone who's like Mark did this. And I was like, no, maybe just Mark was an asshole and you can move on. You know?
Maybe. Oh, yeah, man. I don't know. I don't have a whole lot to add. I could play devil's advocate with that, and that's about all I could do, and this would turn into a 2 to 3 hour podcast. I don't want to do that today, but...
Listen, the point I'm trying to make is give love to everyone everywhere, and for fuck's sake, go to Munson and Brothers tonight, Thursday night, and see who's all playing.
Thursday night, it is Preston Swedenborg, our very own, opening for Jay Edwards.
Hell yeah.
And then on Friday night at Munson Brothers, once again, it is Jay Edwards opening for our very own, our beloved, CJ Bell.
Hell yeah. It's going to be some great shows. Munson is one of the best venues in all Columbus, Mississippi. And their pizza is unparalleled. I'm going to be honest, their pizza beats anything in Birmingham. So go to Munson and Brothers.
Holy cow, he's speaking highly. He's speaking highly.
No, I mean, seriously, like, since Lloydley closed down, tell me a better pizza place in Birmingham.
I hear they're back.
Yeah, but they don't make pizza no more.
Oh.
What's it? Yeah, so Munson's got the best pizza in the Southeast.
Holy cow, here we are. We have arrived. Josh, anything else that you would like to plug or add before we end this radio call?
Fucking follow me on Instagram at Fire Camino. I got some new stuff coming out. I need everyone to pester me to put out a new album. It'll be with Taylor. I love each and every one of you. You're all beautiful. You're all amazing. Fucking do the best you can. Shit's confusing. I know this is a hard time, but you know what? Fuck it. We're going to get through it.
Amen.
And I love each and every one of you. Thank you, Alan, for having me on the show.
Thank you, Josh. Fire Camino, everybody. Go support him on Bandcamp. And we are out of here.
Love you. Bye-bye.
1, 2, 3, 4. I wake up, the sun's still down, can't see around the room. Got a big old mess around the house, don't know what to do. Yeah, nothing's right when baby's got the blues. Car won't start, my dog got sick, got 2 leaks on the roof. Got a past due bill from the termite folks, a chip on my front tooth. Yeah, nothing's right when baby's got the blue. I get down when baby's got the blue. Yeah, I get down, don't know what to do. Yeah, nothing's right when baby's got the like shit, but it'll have to do. So I got drunk and I passed out with all my clothes on too. Yeah, nothing's right when baby's got the blues. I fell down, hit my head, scuffed up my new shoes, ripped my jeans down the back, the only ones that fit right too. Yeah, nothing's right when baby's got the blues. Yeah, I get down when baby's got the blues. I get down, don't know what to do. Yeah, nothing's right when baby's got the blues. Yeah, nothing's right when baby's got the blues.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.